Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 65 of Nutanix Weekly. I'm your host, Andy Whiteside. Today is March 20th, 2023. You've got Harvey Green and Philip Sellers with me. Harvey, how is it going?
Going well. You're getting fancy putting the date in them now.
I have to because I can't keep track of all of them. And I go back and listen later. I'm like, what day did we record that one on?
Yeah, it's easier just to listen.
Easier to listen than it is to dig into the metadata and the details. That would take like two extra clicks. And
well, that is also true.
Harvey, how are things in the Zyntegra Gov world?
Very busy, actually. It's been good. It's been very busy.
So are you a CEO, president, sales guy, technologist? What do you do at Zyntegra Gov?
D, all of the above.
All of the above, yeah. That's okay, because you're the right guy for that. And do it all with a smile, too.
Absolutely. What other way is there to do it? You can frown all you want. Nobody cares.
So in this moment, you're on a podcast. Are you a technologist, a sales guy, a marketing guy, or D, all the above?
D, all of the above.
Look, when you're passionate about what you do and the brands you represent, it's easy to go do a podcast and be a marketing guy and a sales guy and an engineer with a straight face all at the same time. That's what I love about this
Yeah. Camp. Yeah, it does make it easy because I can be a technologist and an engineer first, and the other things just happen to hop in the cart.
That's right. So you guys have probably heard me say this. I'm sure you have somewhere along the way, and I say it all the time. People are like, man, you're so passionate about it. Like, it's easy when you're telling the truth.
Exactly. 100%. 100%.
Now, Philip, I know we've had this conversation a little bit. You just came over. I say just. It's been a few months now. Came over from the customer side of this. Did you know that you could be on the sales / marketing side and still be honest?
Well, you know, I didn't make the transition until I could. That was important to me. I mean, you know, I can't hide my expression. People can read my face. I don't have a good poker face. So when I made that transition, I needed that to happen. So that's why I'm here.
And you know what? If we tell somebody something and it ends up being wrong, either because the vendor misled us or we misled because we made a mistake, you know what we'll do? We'll make it right.
Yeah, we'll fix it. Yep, that's exactly it.
Well, I think we have a good topic to cover today. Let me pull it up on my screen here. It is a blog from March 20th, 2023. So it must be from today. Either that or it automatically says it's from today. It says 6 months ago. So maybe they just keep it fresh by refreshing the page. The name of the blog is Hybrid Cloud Security, Everything You Need to Know. Well, that's saying a lot. So we'll find out what it is. Everything is a big word. So maybe everything might be a stretch, but a lot of what you need to know. How about that?
Yes.
All right. So there is nobody listed as the author unless I'm missing. I'm missing the author of this blog. I don't think I am.
No.
Okay. All right. So it's a guest writer.
It was a ghostwriter.
Or maybe it was chat AI or whatever that stuff's called.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Well, think about it. I mean, I get, you know, your school term paper, blah, 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 but just blogs, you might be able to get a lot of blogs written using chat.
Well, I haven't used ChatGPT at all yet, but I have heard lots of things to the point that I had a colleague of mine say that he was putting on some training, and he said it was actually for ServiceNow. He said, write an invite for ServiceNow training and include these three things. And it wrote out like a full page email that he basically took, edited 3 or 4 words and sent it out. I was like, holy crap, this is ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, I think that was interesting timing because while we were talking, the little chat bot in the right hand corner came up and wanted to talk to me. It knew we were talking about its relatives.
Right.
All right. So, Philip, you helped us select this blog. The opening comments here, the opening couple of paragraphs, why did you want to cover this one? And why did Harvey agree to it?
So, you know, we talk a lot about strategy, and this is a pretty high-level blog focused on security, but we've got a lot of customers where we're talking about hybrid cloud, where some elements of their cloud strategy are on-prem, some of the elements are in a hyperscaler, and we're having a ton of conversations, particularly around Nutanix cloud clusters or NC2, on the hyperscalers and other vendors. You know, it's not just AWS and Azure, but it's also Equinix and OVF Cloud and some of the other providers. So security is something that clearly falls to the customer. So your account, your identity strategy, a lot of those things are rules that the customer is going to have to deal with. So I feel like this is something that we really want to introduce as a topic to have customers thinking about, just to raise awareness. Because, you know, when we talk about who's responsible for what in hybrid cloud, sometimes there's a lot of misinformation about who's responsible for what.
Well, so Philip, true statement, true or false? You know, when it comes to security, yes, there's a lot of people you can rely on and trust and get advisement from. But at the end of the day, it's up to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
You have to own it.
Yeah. I mean, the hyperscalers are not going to solve it for you magically somehow. At the end of the day, your security for your workloads, that's going to be a customer decision.
Right. So, Harvey, your thoughts on why you thought, well, let me say this before I forget to, one of the reasons why we chose this one, because it has a lot of content on it, and without Jira, well, we need a lot of content. But other than that, Harvey, why did you choose this one?
Same sort of concept as Phil there. You know, we've got lots of conversations that we have. We do our best to make sure that everybody's educated and making sure that they understand what hurts them, what helps them when it comes to security. We talk a whole lot about the power of Nutanix and what you can get out of it and being able to move workloads, migrate back and forth from cloud, hybrid cloud, you know, hosted data center, colo, whatever you want to use. And, you know, sometimes I like to bring things back so that we have the conversation of you have all of this power that you get from this tool, but now we have to talk about, you know, the consequences of that power, the things that you need to know, you know, so that you don't just take this and say, oh, this is great and roll it out everywhere and forget that, you know, you have to have different security for an on-premise data center versus a cloud data center or a colo or, you know, everything in between. It's the same concept that I try to teach my kids when they go to the amusement park. They jump on the ride and, you know, buckle up and maybe they pull it or maybe they don't. And I'm like, well, you always have to check it. And they're like, why? They're going to come around anyway. Well, you don't depend on him. You got to check it for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. What if you got it wrong? Well, okay.
Right.
Well, you'll be. I'll sue them. Well, you'll be dead.
Right. It won't be that easy.
All right. Well, I just grabbed on my other screen here. I'll drag it over. You know, in Superman, Spider-Man, with power comes great responsibility. Well, and I bring that up only because, like, with enablements, like hyperscalers and hypervisors inside hyperscalers, that's a lot of enablement. That's a lot of capabilities. But there's a lot that can go wrong if you don't pay attention to some of these finer points. All right. So what is hybrid security, Philip?
Well, I mean, it's just basically, you know, hybrid cloud means that it's private and public. There's some element of both in the mixture of your strategy. And so, you know, you've got what you've traditionally run on your own premises or your colo, where it's fully within your control. And some third-party cloud services where there are elements of it that are managed by someone else, that are enabled by someone else.
Yeah.
I mean, it's recognition that certain security policies only work for certain zones. You open the front door to your house, you walk in and you want to be able to get into every room. You walk into a hotel, you really don't want everybody to have access to every room.
You know, that's a great example, right? You walk into a hotel and at least for most of the day, the front door is unlocked, but all the rooms are locked. Right. Whereas your house, the front door is locked, but all the rooms are unlocked.
That's it.
That's kind of exactly what we're talking about here. And we're trying to go in between each other as if the house and the hotel are next door and there's a hall, there's a, you know, some type of walkway in between the two. We got to change our posture from one side.
And not only that, but I mean, extending upon Harvey's analogy here, we don't mostly carry cards in our houses. You know, we don't use key cards to get into our rooms in our houses. But we certainly expect that when we go to a hotel, right? You know, or so, you know, the model for security is different. And I know there's smart locks and things like that, so it's starting to fall apart on me. But at the end of the day, the security models are a little different. What we've done in our own house is not the same as what we get in the hotel. And so we have to adapt to the security model that we're provided with. So hotel, you know, I may go to the Hilton and use a key card. I may go to the Westin and have to use a key. You know, I mean, I know nobody has keys anymore, but
how about this one? If you take the you apply your logic and your strategy, and maybe you start to apply it across both, and maybe this is where Nutanix's example comes in, and all of a sudden I've got a smart key on my phone that not only works for my house but also works for my hotel for 3 nights until I check out, and it automatically stops working.
Yeah, that's right.
And that really is the power of what Nutanix is trying to do here by extending a known consistent management plane and enablement and services, no matter where you run their stack.
Yeah. So maybe 90% of the security goes in both directions, but 10% needs to be thought of differently on depending on which side at the moment you're on.
That's correct.
Or maybe it's 90-10 or 10-90, who knows?
But either way, you have the power of the tool in both places.
So the next section says, the title of it's the nature of security in private and public clouds, which might align with what we were just talking about. What are they trying to get across in this point in the blog?
Really is, you've got virtualized resources in both locations, but one supports just you, the other supports a lot of customers. Your connectivity is different. Your public cloud is going to be connected to the internet, and so you're going to have to layer on some other things there. You may have your own private network through a service provider on the private side. It's one of those things where I guess you have to understand the caveat, and the graphic shows it here. One is suited for less confidential information, being the public cloud. The other more suited for your very secure core systems and confidential information, what I would call your crown jewels.
You know, I think there's no better example than what we do the most of. We're not limited to most of, and that's like desktop and app virtualization that is, you know, not super well suited for the cloud because it gets very expensive up there and we need low latency, super high performance. But the other stuff that it then talks to could very much be public cloud suited.
Well, and you know, not this conversation, but I like the idea of data gravity. You know, where is your most centrist type data? Where's the most important data to your business? And then you have to create an ecosystem around that to deliver and access that data. Yeah. And oftentimes with customers and traditional applications, that's going to be in their on-prem data center or, you know, on their Nutanix platform.
Yeah, a Nutanix platform in their data center, maybe in a private, semi-private data center like ours, and all that high-speed connected to the public cloud, which is just somebody else's data center, you know, one of the big boys. Right. And in theory, the user should log in and never know where they're at. They just see what they see.
That's exactly the other big difference, too, and I like that it talks a little bit about this in this section, is the way that we access it is different. You know, with public cloud, everything is through management interfaces. And so it's a very standardized way of access. So they've taken choices off the table for us, where we have everything at our disposal in our private cloud. We can do it any way that we choose. There's going to be standard mapped ways that you do things in a public cloud environment on a hyperscaler. And so you have to follow their rules, and you have to follow the way that they give you to secure things, to do things.
Yeah. Yeah. When's the last time you were talking to one of the public cloud providers and asking them how they stripe their disk for, you know, reads and writes?
So, hey, could you just throw in some erasure coding there for us? And they're going to look at you and go, no.
Yeah. You don't have to know nor care. Here's what you get. Right. And there's a lot of benefits in that.
Absolutely.
All right. Harvey, I'll go to you. The benefits of hybrid cloud security.
Yeah, so you know, one of the big ones they hit in here on is being able to diversify across multiple clouds. You definitely want to start to move into a model in which you're doing that, because ultimately, you know, you always have, it is never if in IT, it is always when. Ultimately, you will have some time when you can't get to one or one is compromised. And if you are not across multiple environments, then you basically set yourself up for being down by things that are not your fault. You have exposure to downtime, you have exposure to security along the same lines as the provider that you're using. Whereas if you stripe that across multiple data centers, then you're, you know, giving yourself a much better footprint there, a much, much more, what's the word I'm looking for? a much more resilient environment.
Bill, anything to add to this one?
Yeah, I mean, it's not just resilient in my mind. I love that point because it is spot on. It's also robustness. Sometimes, and this is generally the case with AI and ML type workloads, but there's a lot of things public cloud can provide that we can't replicate on-prem and it be cost effective. They're providing differentiated services and maybe opening an enterprise tool set to our mid-market customers who might not be able to do it, you know, cost effectively today. So things like micro-segmentation, being able to create security policies and posture that just weren't possible maybe in the on-prem. As we talk about Nutanix, this is where Flow and Flow security kind of comes into play, and being able to do, you know, that configuration both on-prem and in the cloud. But then when we start talking about augmenting native cloud services around that, then you've got a whole nother tool set in the hyperscalers that are at your disposal. Those are an extension of that Nutanix when you go into a hybrid cloud. So that, I think, is a benefit because you get this robust tool set and it's on a consumption basis pricing, not something where you have to do $1.5 million upfront capital investment to be able to even have it at your disposal.
Yeah, that was actually the next thing that I was going to hit on, is that you've got a set of tools there that are already implemented, that have already gone through, you know, all of the things that you would go through in a normal implementation and a normal configuration. They've been tested, they've been certified, you know, all of those things are already in place. And the work has largely been done for you. There are, you know, a lot of customers who don't have the resources, and resources not just meaning, you know, financial resources, just the actual manpower to be able to implement the type of security tools that are already there, simply because, you know, the cloud providers already have customers in there who are, you know, way more worried about security, you know, than another customer, that have already put all of these things in place that, you know, for somebody else to put in place would be a monumental uplift.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all within reach of customers of all sizes these days.
Right.
So what are, Philip, what are some of the challenges for hybrid cloud security then?
Well, you know, I mean, I think one we've already kind of talked about, the incompatibility of models between on-prem and public cloud. I mean, they don't act the same. So there's a learning curve for organizations who are adopting public cloud and hybrid cloud as a strategy. And the same holds true for multi-cloud. So if you're not just working with one of the hyperscalers, there's differentiation and differences in how you manage between AWS, Azure, and GCP. So I think that's one of the first challenges, is just understanding the different operating models, what they call things, and what policies are available to you. Connectivity is the other big one. I mean, we joke about what's a perfect network, you know, perfectly secure, perfect running, and it's a network with no users, right? But that's not a very effective network at the end of the day. You've got to have access for your users. So that connectivity piece is where you open the potential to get things wrong. And so it's a critical part of your design to talk about how you get user traffic in, how you connect and extend your on-prem to the public cloud, and how you get data between the locations.
Robert, anything specific you see as a challenge for the Gov users that you interact with these days?
So the next one that they hit on here is knowing where to place data, when to move it, and how to handle the overall management of data. I hear that all the time. I discuss it all the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, you have this great ability to move things, you know, back and forth to the cloud, from the cloud to one data center versus another, multi-cloud. You get all of this power. But there is so much responsibility behind that in proper planning, proper design, knowing, to Philip's point earlier about data gravity, knowing that, you know, when you have the crown jewels sitting in one location and your users are going to be accessing the crown jewels in and out all day, moving the users to a separate data center than where the crown jewels lives automatically implements latency. And either your application can stand that or it can't. And if it can't, you need to know that your users need to be in the same location as where your crown jewels are.
Right.
That's a huge conversation that a lot of people just don't necessarily think about in the same way.
And how have we, as a digital workspace oriented company, have we typically been able to solve that? Where's your users? Where's the app? What's the security needs?
I mean, I talk about users and data as an entire workload. I want to make sure that they stay together. They're holding hands the entire time. And if at any point we separate them, we know where they're separated, why they're separated, and how we can, you know, make concessions to bring them closer together. Because if you separate those things, you definitely will feel that. Your users will feel that. You will see the brunt of, you know, what comes by way of that separation.
Yeah. Well, and what I was doing there, and you answered it in a good way too, but, you know, that application virtualization through presentation that we've done for all these years, you know, if I have to put the app and the data way over here and the user over here, I can use a delivery protocol to make them feel like they're more or less in the same room.
Absolutely. That is definitely a way to help bring them closer together by way of a protocol that's living between them. But again, that goes back to, you know, proper design. That goes back to making sure that if they're not in the same place, you do everything that you can to make them feel like they're in the same place.
Right.
Well, there's one other huge one that I want to point out here, and that's around identity. So knowing who your users are as you give permissions to these services is huge. And identities become an evolving conversation that we have with our customers. And it's one that I encourage all organizations to think about, because the days of Active Directory being enough, those have gone. Yeah. And you need a broader identity strategy, because the reality is all organizations are adopting SaaS in some way or form, whether it's IT driven or HR driven or business driven. There are going to be SaaS applications that you have to also enable. And if you use built-in authentication for each one of those, now you've got 6-7 points to revoke access, to provision access. You need an identity strategy that's going to stretch and understand what you're doing from an infrastructure as a service standpoint with your app delivery and VDI, and also any of your SaaS applications. It's a continuum, and it's a place where if you don't have a good strategy, it's going to get solved for you, and it's probably going to get solved poorly.
Yeah, so Philip, you're saying before you go any of these directions, before you have your cloud initiatives and strategies start to kick in, or before you start to figure out how you're going to secure it or optimize it, stop, make sure you've got a single identity strategy that has legs on it, and then start to move forward.
Absolutely. Because I mean, this is a core tenet of security, right? Knowing who your user is and what they have access to. That is a gatekeeper fundamental principle that you need to have worked out. And you've got all sorts of different things. Again, back to our previous conversation, you got these capabilities that are built into the hyperscalers, but you may see fit to bring in a third party that just does identity for you. You may end up with an Azure AD or something that your cloud provider already has available to you, but you need to look at it as a central source of truth and a place where you can revoke access. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, getting people in is one thing, but keeping people out is also a huge, huge thing. So, if you've got people who've parted ways with your company, you need to be able to revoke that access. You need to be able to make sure that you've got multi-factor, and identity includes that multi-factor authentication and proving who someone is. And then by basis, we can start talking about zero trust authentication models if you've got a good identity strategy.
Yeah. All right. So the last section of the blog is how to choose the right hybrid security solution. And Philip, Harvey, neither one of you are allowed to say it depends.
Challenge accepted.
Even though it kind of depends.
I mean, ultimately, my strategy is always going to involve not locking myself in. So I approach it from that standpoint. I'm going to want things like what Phil just brought to the table. I'm going to want something where I can use my identity provider to go across a bunch of the things that I'm targeting, a bunch of the software and data that I'm responsible for upkeeping. I am going to want to have my data live in more than one place. I am going to want to be able to use one tool to manage that data that lives in more than one place. I mean, ultimately, I want flexibility. I want to not be locked in, and I want it to be secure. So that's always how I'm going to approach it.
So Harvey, since Andy said I can't say it depends, I'm going to say, I'm going to try and summarize what you just said. Use them all. Yeah. So create a strategy where you can plug in any single one of them.
Absolutely.
That is the winning way to create your cloud strategy and your security strategy across them, is create a framework that would work for any of them.
Yeah. Ultimately, in IT, you don't always get to choose what you're going to use. That is chosen for you. So as much as you can have something that's compatible across what you're using and across what you will be using in the future, that is completely undefined at this very moment, that's the way that you want to go.
So I'm going to throw another curveball at the conversation and bring it back to Nutanix.
Yeah.
Either that or abstract it. Use something that has consistent security policies no matter where you run it. And Cloud Clusters is a great example of that. Whether it's me creating the DR site on NC2, running Nutanix on-prem, you know, we have that consistency of security policies. We have the consistency of operating model, management consoles. So there's a lot of benefits that come to an enterprise organization when you can standardize across those. It's not possible for everything. I think that's the reality that we know.
Right.
But it certainly hits a huge swath of what customers are trying to do.
Well, I mean, ultimately, you can probably see in my answer why I like Nutanix. you get the power, you get the flexibility, you get the ability to have it live in more than one place and manage it in the same way. I mean, that's like almost exactly what I described.
Yeah. And what you're saying there, it's very powerful, very ubiquitous, but also simple to manage. And that's part of Nutanix getting the benefit of growing up at this time. And I say growing up, it's, you know, 10 plus years old now, but evolving at a time where that was the focus and not just functionality. It was functionality, yes, but ease of management and ubiquitous capabilities across all different platforms. There's no legacy there. It's built from day one to be ready to go in this, these directions.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's born in the cloud without having to be in the cloud. I mean, you get that functionality, but it doesn't have to live there. You don't have to give up the rest of what you might want when it comes to that very secure type environment we talked about earlier, where you might not be getting what you need from that perspective out of a public cloud.
Well, guys, I think we covered it. Philip, Harvey, anything else that you'd like to tie into this conversation? Be on the lookout for more Zintegra stuff, our new campus workshops and other things, you know, little advertisement.
I almost did that.
Well, guys, I appreciate it. I'm sorry we missed Jira today, but I think we did a pretty good job of that one. And he'll be back with us, him and Ben as well, in a couple weeks.
That's right. And Jira, as many words as we shared today, you have to do as many next time.
100%.
All right, gentlemen. Thank you.
Thanks.